Hello, awesome people. Welcome to Embrace the Pivot. I'm Dr. C. Robinson, your host for the show. Join me as we discover what pivoting actually means and how you can embrace your pivot during life's transition. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Are you having a great week? Let's see. We are almost into April. This year is flying by. As always, feel free to reach me at robinson@embracethepivot.org. Before I introduce today's guest, I want to talk about pivoting and dealing with competition and dealing with thinking that you don't have anything to offer. What you have to understand is now, especially in the digital age, there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people doing the same exact thing that you want to do. The only difference is you. I 100% believe that everyone is unique in their own way, and everyone brings a different skill set, a different value set, and a different personality to what they want to do. I still struggle with this sometimes. When I rebrand Ready to Roar, my LLC, I'm always looking at the competition, and you have to, in order so that you can pivot yourself, pivot your marketing, and offer something that they don't. And it can get really overwhelming. It can become so mind-drowning that you don't want to do it anymore, that you would rather just give up on your goal and go back to whatever you were doing. But that is not growing. That is not successfully pivoting. And this happens to me. It happens to everyone where you feel, oh my goodness, my market is oversaturated. How am I ever going to break into it, make a mark, leave my legacy, and do what I want to do? The difference comes down to how do you market yourself and how do you position yourself to show a value add that your competition isn't doing. So right now for me, I am starting a 6-week writing Kickstarter program. And when you talk about a market that's oversaturated, oh my goodness. So the joke was when I was living in Hollywood that you could throw a stone and you would hit either an aspiring writer or an aspiring actor. But the actors and the writers that become successful, they don't look at their competition and have it overwhelm them. They look at their competition and say, well, what can I do differently to stand out from the crowd? And that's what I'm doing. It's me. It's my credentials. It's what I have done that I bring to this 6-week writing Kickstarter program that my belief is people do want to learn from me. Because I've done so much, why not? Why not get that template? Why not get that foundation in order to become successful, in order to amp up their writing, or in actuality, to start writing? So when you're looking at pivoting in your career, don't let the competition overwhelm you. Let the competition drive you to position yourself in a unique way that you bring a different value add to the table. All right, today's guest, I have Kate Jeffers. She's the president and partner of independent creative ad agency Venables Bell Partners, otherwise known as VBP. And they have worked with Audi, Reebok, 3M, Chipotle, just to name a few of their portfolio clients. Kate joined the agency in 2004, and she was just recently named president. And she has worked her way up in the company from account manager to president, which is incredible. Can't wait for you to hear her story. And during her time at VBP, she has played a critical role in the growth and culture and has helped transform the agency's operational model to diversify and expand its holistic services. She's developed the in-house production unit, lumberyard, and she was also instrumental in the agency's recent launch of its new brand AI firm, Brave, which is spelled B-R-A-I-V-E. I love the play on words, AI and Brave. Everyone, please welcome Kate.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. So you started off at VBP and you have just recently been named president. Can you take me through that journey as you worked your way up to president? And also, what were you doing before you joined the agency?
Okay. Well, so I have been at VBP for 17 years, so forever. And I was at some other great agencies, but before that, it was actually, you know, a huge pivot for me because I went to law school to be an international lawyer and then very quickly realized that wasn't for me. And so really fell backwards into advertising. So that was sort of my first significant pivot. And then started in advertising, you know, at the very bottom and worked my way up and started at VBP as an account director when we were quite small. We were about 20 people when I started. And so it's been a pretty significant growth trajectory, both for myself and the agency over the past 17 years.
Wow. So what does being an international lawyer involve?
You know, I don't even know that I knew. I think I was 20 years old. I was a political science, I was sort of a nerd. I was a political science, international relations, Spanish triple major. And I think I thought it sounded glamorous and involved some international travel. And just thought it would be very cool. And quite quickly, I was sort of like, oh, law school's not for me. And I was really interested in being in, you know, when I sort of had that humbling moment of like, okay, then what is for me? Realizing, you know, I don't consider myself necessarily to be a creative person, but I wanted to work in a creative field and be surrounded by creative people. And so that led me to advertising. And I have to say that is one of the very best parts of this industry is it is just such a dynamic group of creative people solving problems every day.
So how are you a creative? In what aspects?
Well, you know, I would hope that I'm a creative problem solver. You know, one big part of my job, and maybe this can answer your question a little bit about how I got here, is, you know, I've had a number of roles at the agency over the years, and I've really tried to embrace the agency needed at the time and how I could best support that versus sort of a linear view of the role I wanted to play. And so I've been able to do a lot of business development and capability scaling and operations and new business. And so I hope in that way I've been able to be creative with building solutions and making a ton of mistakes and figuring out how to move forward and solving problems. I think that's probably where I apply my creativity, and I let the, you know, the true creatives actually come up with amazing advertising.
Yeah. So now at VBP, you work with clients such as Audi, Reebok, 3M, and Chipotle. What type of campaigns do you help your clients produce?
Well, we do. Yeah, we are so lucky to work with so many amazing brands, and, you know, our hope is that we are a really great partner to them in stewarding their entire brand. And as you know, that's getting more and more complicated every day. You know, it used to be just an ad campaign in linear fashion and everyone had to watch it and then they would go buy your product. And now there are so many touch points that influence consumer perception of brands. So our job across the clients you mentioned and a whole slew of other clients is to be a great brand partner. And so we show up in a lot of different ways. We do a lot of marketing and communications and what you would consider to be traditional ad campaigns. We do a lot of upstream product innovation work. We do things like experience design and social impact. So our role is really to be a great brand partner and to help our clients engage consumers and communities with all the touch points that are now available to them.
Yeah. So starting off as an account manager to now president, how are you able to market yourself within the company to show, hey, here's the value that I bring to the table and here's how the, you know, I can add value then to the president's role?
That's such a good question. I think what I have been able to do is kind of just embrace whatever the new opportunity or role needs to be. So whether that is a new business role or building a capability or taking on a really difficult account, I sort of tried to be the person that was always up for embracing the new opportunity that the agency needed and being the one that kind of jumped on the biggest challenge and took away the biggest headache. And I think that helped me move forward faster. And it's definitely something, it's funny, you know, sitting where I am now, it's something that I so appreciate in a lot of our staff and leadership is that mentality of give me the problem to solve. Let me have the biggest, scariest thing and I'll take it off your hands kind of approach.
How do you develop that self-confidence or that mindset to say, give me the biggest problem? A lot of people steer clear of the problems, but you face it head on. Where does that come from? Were you always like that or did that develop as you went throughout your career?
You know, I think it comes honestly from a level of humility and having failed at things. You know, I think that the more you try things and fail and you're like, okay, that didn't work, the more willing you are to try new things and take on new opportunities. And so I think it's a mindset, it's sort of almost the reverse. It's not a mindset of uber confidence. It's a mindset of yes, confidence, of course, but sort of the humility that comes with, you know what, I'm going to take this on and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to learn from them and move forward.
With that, like having that confidence, you did help or you did have a hand in Fellow, right? The mentorship Yes. platform for women. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually one thing that we do as a company. So we're independent and very proudly so. And what that lets us do is really, you know, invest our time and money in the places where we can best support our people and best support our clients. And so we do act as a VC for our people's ideas. We actually really want people to bring us entrepreneurial ideas and try to back them, try to give them agency support. And so this was the brainchild of two employees of VB&T that came to us and recognized that mentorship for women is so critical. It's something that is lacking in this industry. And a lot of it is about time and access. And so is there a technology solution that could help with that? And so we thought that was brilliant. And we fully funded it and brought it to market. And I was lucky enough to be kind of the executive sponsor. So worked really closely with the team in building it and kind of figuring out the best application for it within the industry.
Wow. And how has that grown since its launch?
It's been really cool to see how much people appreciate the idea of it. We have sort of a whole 2.0 that we're planning right now that is sort of also developed during COVID, because one thing that we realized is, oh my gosh, there's never more need, you know, there's never a time when there is more need for a technology solution around mentorship. So we're actually kind of doing a 2.0 that's going to launch soon. But it's really been great to see so many women in the industry want to be a part of it and recognize how important it is. And I think that is something that I, you know, feels a little new, maybe, at least to me, about women in our industry is just this real commitment to each other and to helping each other grow and come up in the industry, and a willingness to put in the time and the effort to help other women be a part of that community. And so I've been really excited by just the outpouring of support for it and people saying, like, what can I do? Like, do you want me to help sell it? Do you want me to go speak about it on a panel? Like, it's been really cool. So I'm excited about a 2.0 that I think is going to expand the capabilities of it even more and what that can do. And honestly, you know, if all it does is connect more women, that's great. That's the goal.
Yeah. And when is that supposed to launch?
You know, it's funny. I would have told you April, and now it may be a little bit later. but definitely we're shooting for this year to have something out that is, you know, just expanded capabilities for what the app can do.
Yeah. And, you know, I started my career 15 years ago. And at that time, you always heard, don't trust other women, and they're only out for themselves, right? It was such a negative connotation that women did not support women. And I never grew up that way. I always wanted to see everyone succeed. And now seeing more women-based platforms and women championing other women, it makes me so happy because
I so agree with you. Oh, I was just going to say, I think you're right. I think that was a dynamic that certainly existed when I started. In fact, you know, most of my mentors were men because I didn't feel like there were women that were necessarily helping me get ahead. And I agree with you. I'm so happy to how much that's changed.
Yeah. It's just crazy that that's how it was back then. And
I know.
Yeah. Crazy.
I know, but it's not good. And I don't know why. I would like to think, you know, I don't know what caused that, but I do love that about sort of the community of women now. And then I would say, especially in advertising, which is such a competitive field, just in general, how much women come together to help each other and share best practices and advice and challenges, and feels like it's a real community that park some of the competition at the door.
Yeah. All right. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about Brave. And I love how you spelled it, B-R-A-I-V-E, emphasizing the AI. So what was that decision to branch off into AI?
So, you know, one thing that it's kind of my favorite part of the job and the agency. One thing that we really try to do, again, to be good partners to our clients and to really help them steward brands that now have much more complicated ecosystems, is to innovate our capabilities. And so what we really try to do is, you know, really get inside the heads of our clients and think about their headaches and what's coming. And Brave was really born of a recognition that AI is here. You know, there's all sorts of terrifying stats about the level of interaction that will be, you know, created by AI and consumers. You know, by 2025, it'll be like 90% or something. And it's a technology that exists. It's really owned in the back end of most companies by CTOs. But for CMOs, it's sort of this question of like, what is it and how do I leverage it? And a lot of those conversations led to a realization that one of the great things that AI can do is build communities. It can really listen and learn from communities and expand and connect communities and create real advocacy and real conversation that can help brands learn and help brands change, you know, their product offering. And so Brave was really born of that, of allowing AI to be part of a holistic brand strategy, but then really thinking about the community aspect of AI and how AI can grow communities and how we can really create a real sense of solidarity and a sense of community through AI.
How did that test you as a leader breaking into this new space?
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been doing this for a while, and we have a lot of capabilities as a company, and I've had so many that have failed, and so many where, you know, I've been at the helm of something that has just totally not worked. So I think, you know, taking on Brave was the same mentality of like, this is really interesting. There's something here, but, you know, this is new space for all of us. So we're going to try this, and we're going to make a bunch of mistakes, and we're going to see how it goes. And that's really, you know, that is very much my mentality. And I always really try to be transparent as a leader and own failures too. You know, get up in front of the company and say, we tried this and it totally didn't work and I'm sorry and now we're doing this. And so we really went into it with that mentality. We do have at the helm some pretty serious experts in AI and emerging tech. And so that helped a ton. But it's definitely been a learning, and I think we've built out a really interesting capability, and we're actually now starting to build out a specific product that's coming out of some of the clients that we're taking on that can really help with the community aspect and then can deploy a creative idea off of some of those community needs. And that's all a learning curve that I think, you know, it's getting sharper and sharper, hopefully, every day.
So you talk about standing up in front of the company and talking about your failures. Not many people own up to that, or they don't like to discuss their failures. So how are you able, or how did you get yourself comfortable enough to discuss what didn't work?
You know, I think about that sometimes. I wonder if it's partly that I've been at the company for so long. You know, I think about that sometimes. If I was walking into a new company, would I do that? And I hope I would. but I think, you know, I'm incredibly comfortable there. It's a very supportive environment for experimentation. And I just really believe it's sort of, you know, I think I've tried to look at how I wanted leaders to be and then, you know, take on some of those characteristics. You know, I always look up to people that do own failures, you know, that really allow other people to share in successes, but that really hold themselves accountable. And so I think that's a really important thing, to be transparent and to, if everyone's thinking something, you should be the one to say it, you know, you should be the one to stand up there and own it. And I think it's very much a part of our culture. And I really like to see it in my leadership as well. I really ask people, you know, share successes and own failures. It's really important because it gives credibility to you and it makes people want to follow you.
Yeah. And, you know, growing up in a society where everyone gets a trophy and no one fails, and if you fail, don't talk about it. But over the years, as I've shared some of my failures, I find that people gravitate towards me more because they want to learn from it, or they find it courageous that you do talk about your failures. That's the only way to learn and to help others learn and grow too, so that they don't go through that same experience that you did. But how would you say that your leadership style has evolved from account manager to now president?
I am a pretty ambitious person, and I love a good plan. Drives my husband crazy. I love sort of, you know, the plan and the logistics. And I, you know, I think I used to be very sort of tactical and linear about, you know, I wanted this role and this promotion by this date. And I sort of had this plan I was trying to follow for my career. And I think it got in the way a little bit because I didn't enjoy the moment, and I was really always sort of focused on what was ahead, and I think it probably caused a lot of undue stress. And so over the years, I think I've tried to let go of that plan and just kind of embrace the opportunity, because I've learned every single thing is an opportunity for learning, you know, and it can be something where you're like, wow, I never want to do that again, or wow, that totally didn't work, or, you know, or it can be something amazing. But I think in doing that, I've certainly had a lot more fun, and I think probably added a lot more value. And so, you know, to me, that sort of, I think that's evolved into my current approach and style, which is, you know, just embrace the opportunity. And I, you know, really try to not wait to talk, but listen, you know, just take a moment to take it all in, because it makes the work better. And I think it makes the culture better.
If someone came to you stating that they were about to pivot in their career, what would be three essential steps you'd share to help make that pivot successful?
I sort of follow this mantra that, like, do the thing that scares you the most. And, you know, I've had a couple times in my career, you know, I had when I was at an agency that was really great, and I had a chance to go work on Apple, which sounded terrifying, and almost didn't go. And then I did, and I met my husband in the first week. But, you know, there's all these moments where I've sort of had choices and had paths open up, and the scarier option has been the one that has always been the right one. And so I guess the three things I would say would start with, do the scariest thing, do the thing that scares you the most. And maybe the second would be, remember that you're going to fail. Look at it almost like, not the opposite of failure is not an option, but almost failure is not only an option, but it's a likelihood. And then I think third, you know, all those failures and challenges, to me, that builds resiliency, and it builds humility, and it builds character. And I think that makes you a better person. Again, even if you look back on an experience or a pivot and think, wow, I really shouldn't have done that, I'm not sure you didn't learn something along the way that makes you a stronger person.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing those three. Because again, not everyone talks about failure. They don't even want to talk about it, but it's a reality. It will happen at some point. So thank you. What is on the horizon for you personally and at VBP?
So I'll start with the company, you know, and I sort of alluded to this, you know, we're really excited by innovating on behalf of our clients. It's kind of, it's sort of, you know, in our lifeblood, and there's so much cool innovation happening right now that is supporting our clients. And one other thing we just launched with a partner called LVA is a data capability that is about really understanding in a deeper and more empathetic way underrepresented audiences, particularly Black audiences. And we, you know, the premise is really a belief that the current data sets are very, very surface level and treat those audiences as demographics. And that's why some of the content and advertising isn't resonating. So I'm very excited about that and what sort of that's opened up a lot of doors and client conversations and new work that I think is really exciting. So that's something I'm particularly excited about. And personally, I have a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, and I am excited to get back to a little bit of normalcy and do some travel. I think that's probably the thing that we're all itching to do. And my kids are that perfect age to travel. And so we're sort of having fun thinking about all the places we might be able to go over the next year. You know, whenever it happens.
Yeah. And where would be the first place?
You know, we are trying to decide. I think that the vote may be either sort of a Scandinavia Northern Lights thing or a Ooh. Peru Galapagos thing. They're very ambitious ideas that I need to make sure we can afford. But I love the conversation.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about that we didn't touch on?
No, I mean, I think you covered so much of it. I think, you know, maybe just landing again on that point around humility and failure. And I just think, you know, there's this weird perception that the people at the top need to have it all figured out and need to be, you know, precise and polished and confident and, you know, nothing ever gets them down or you know, they never fail. And I think to me, it's quite the opposite. I think the best leaders are actually very humble and very open and very real. And I think that's especially important for women to hear. They have to come to work as full people with a lot of different dimensions. And so I think it's important, you know, to land that point, at least in my opinion, that I think that, you know, authentic leadership looks, you know, messy and it looks humble and it looks open. And to me, those are the best leaders that are out there.
Yeah. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
So we are on Twitter. We're on Instagram, Venables Bell, and LinkedIn. And yeah, we're hiring like crazy. So I'd love your listeners to know that too.
And what positions are you hiring for?
You know, we're really hiring across the company. So everything from creative to brand management to production to studio to digital. We're having a nice spike of momentum that I'm really excited about. So yeah, looking for amazing talent.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on the momentum and spike. That's really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Embrace the Pivot. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next Wednesday.
You can follow me, Dr. C, on Instagram at EmbraceThePivot. I hope all of you embrace your pivot.